Well, welcome, everyone. Good to see you all. Am I a little bit, I feel a little bit loud. Do you think I'm loud?
No.
No? All right, then I'll just turn it up one notch because I'm rebellious. Rebellious nature. Not like you guys, though. You don't have that, right? No. Good to see you all again. Welcome this morning. Over the next 3 weeks, as we're coming into Easter, Easter's in 3 weeks, right? Yeah, I think it's in the next three Sundays from now. April 1st and...
April 4th.
So we have two more. We have this one and another one, and then the third one is Easter, right? All right. And it's also a time change. So that's that same weekend, that same night. So we're going to probably, I think we talked about, me and Bob talked, maybe we'll do the service at 11 on that Sunday morning because it would be our normal 10. And then we'll go back to 10. Does that make sense? We'll talk about it. Just so you don't, you know, you get your sleep. That's all I'm saying. I want you coming here fresh and awake and alive. But over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about overcoming and becoming. So it's those two things are really deeply connected, overcoming and becoming. Overcoming deals with memories, trauma, even the repercussions from things in our past that we have to overcome. There's always really great stuff from the past that informs us in our life now, right? But for a lot of us, there's been a lot of harm and a lot of feedback, right? All right, let's try it out here a bit. And so we need to heal from that. We need to move forward from that. And becoming is about the person you're going to be, right? The person that you want to be, who we hope to become. And, but often, that who we want to become is held back by the past, by the trauma or the things that have happened in our past. But it's interesting because both are dealt with in the present. Both we deal with right now in this present time as we go forward. And hopefully all of us to seek to overcome the parts of our past that color our present life. The things that hold us back, the things that affect our jobs, affect our relationships with one another, even can affect our relationship with God. So it's really important that we can overcome those things that are holding us back or that are affecting us in our daily lives. And as believers, we should seek to become something more, to be free of that and to become something greater in and for Christ. And even the world agrees, right, that this is a good thing. You need to move on from your past in order that you can be healthy, that you can help others, that you can help yourself. And I think that's even more true for a follower of Jesus Christ. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we're very grateful to come before you. And we know every day that Holy Spirit, you are with us. And yet it is on this day that we have set apart to come together as a body, where we are more deeply reminded of your presence, more deeply reminded of your gift of love, of your sacrifice, Lord Jesus, and your mercy towards us. And today, as we talk about healing in body, mind, and spirit, healing from the traumas of the past, Lord, we pray that would you speak into our hearts as well. As we're going to find out, you are the answer. You are the answer to all of these troubles in our life, all of this anguish and fear and anxiety and all the rest. That in you, there is joy and there is peace. And so we seek you today, Lord, and we seek your wisdom and understanding, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I really believe that God desires that we follow in the footsteps of his beloved son, right? That we do so in the best spiritual and psychological and physical health that we can. And we do that because we want to be able to worship him fully and we want to be able to serve him fully. And that's the reason why. And I also believe that he gives us the tools and the gifts to be able to do this, to be able to live in really healthy ways. But Satan, on the other hand, wants you to be a complete mess. He wants you to doubt yourself, and he wants you to doubt others. That's his goal for you. That's what he would love to see. And if he's successful in that, he causes harm to the kingdom. Right? He can't harm God. He can't touch God. But he can harm his children. He can come after us. He can seek to harm us, and through that harm the kingdom, and to cause division and to tear us apart. And I believe that the Lord wants us to have and helps us to find healing from the past. And I'm talking about that right now because I just know a lot of people, a lot of Christian people who are struggling in different ways, struggling with a darkness that still sometimes comes into their life, struggling with a great trauma that happened in their past that gets relived because something triggers it. And so it really struck me, and there's got to be some really good stuff in here about that, right? the Lord is going to reveal to us how we deal with these things, because I'm asked about that a lot. And you know, don't get me wrong, it's not that God doesn't use us in our weakness, right? We know that he does. We know that he uses us in our weakness as well. And sometimes, even far greater than in our strength. And we know Paul talks about that, right? And in 2 Corinthians. And that's where Paul talks about the thorn in his flesh in 2 Corinthians 12. You know? And he talks about how he cried out to the Lord three times and asked him to remove this thorn, whatever, there's lots of theories about what that is. And what did the Lord say? No, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is greater than your weakness. And Paul accepted that. He grabbed onto that and went, you know, it's true. It's true. You know, but what Paul wasn't, I think what Paul is talking about here is humility and dependency on God. That's what he's talking about. All right? Because Paul is a deeply intelligent man. He was a deeply intelligent man, deeply gifted, very strong in the spirit. Now, he said he had some difficulties with different things, but we know how gifted he was. So whether it's a physical ailment, right, or it's a circumstance, or the enemy is blocking us, anything like that, God works through our weakness when we acknowledge our dependency on him, when we walk in humility before him and acknowledge his great power and our need for him. And he even uses us as we are overcoming. You know, that's the great thing. Even as we are overcoming the things in our life, the fear, the anxiety, the depression, whatever it is, he is using us, and we are becoming. Even in that, we are becoming what he wants us to be. But God doesn't want us to remain traumatized by those past harms, those past hurts, those things. He doesn't want us to remain a victim, to remain in fear, to remain in that place of anxiety and depression, of feeling unworthy, or maybe even of being in addiction. Because living that way does not reflect the joyous nature of a child of God. And it does affect all the relationships, even with God. And so it's really important. And we're going to look at a few scriptures that talk about this. First of all, we're going to go to Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And in Matthew 11, let me turn there. So Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And this is Jesus speaking. And really, Jesus' prayer of thanksgiving. And then I'm going to go into John 16 and 17 and Jesus' prayer to the Father before he's persecuted and taken to the cross. Verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." You know, from that alone, we can see that Jesus is the key to our spiritual and psychological health. He is the key to that. Dependence on him and trust in him are some of the keys to that health. Now, Jesus does not say he is going to take us out of the world, out of the troubles. And we're going to turn to that in a minute. Here, we're going to go to John 17, 13, 19. But he says he will help us through the troubles in this world. And so that's the prayer in John 17, verses 13 and 19, where Jesus is praying for the disciples and praying for us, for those who follow him, for those who come after him. So in John 17, verse 13, Jesus says, "Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth." You know, the truth is that the Father does keep us safe from the evil one in certain ways, right? We know, obviously, that we suffer things in this world. We suffer the repercussions of other people's sin. That's just how it is in this world. It's not fair, it's not right, but it's a fallen world. And so we can be harmed by others from no fault of our own, right? But he does keep us safe in many ways. He keeps especially us safe in him, in our belief in him, in our connection to him as a child of God, right? When we believe, we have this assurance, right, that we are in the kingdom. And so he protects us from that. But there are troubles in this world, and Jesus is the one who helps us deal with it. And he can do that like no one else can. He has an ability to help us in those troubles that no one else has. In him, we are no longer of this world. And that's what that passage reminds us of, that he is not of this world, and we are no longer of this world. And this brings us to our first point in this talk about overcoming, and that Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus has already overcome the world. So we're going to go back to John 16, verse 33. Now, John speaks about overcoming in this book of John, in 1 John, and in Revelation a lot. It's a theme, what David was speaking in 1 John. There was a lot about overcoming. You are overcomers. And the word has a lot to do with victory, with conquering, with defeating others. That's really what the word is talking about here, overcoming. 16, verse 33. "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you have many trials, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." You know, we know, and as we go into Easter, we focus on this a lot, that Jesus overcame sin and death, and that the world has no hold on him anymore. The world has no hold on him at all. And the term "the world," as it's used here a lot in the scriptures, means this present evil age, right? It's about this age that we live in that is not in the kingdom, that Satan has rule over this present evil age. And we're not just talking about the earth and the people and everything goes along with that, but the reality that at all levels, right now, this is not the kingdom of God that we're living in. What's the word when you go into the States and you're not legal? We're aliens. Right? We're aliens. They wouldn't let me in last time. I couldn't get across. I needed a ladder, or I had to fly, so I flew. Figured that would be better. So remember, Jesus says this to Pilate, right? Jesus says to him that this is not my kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. I have a kingdom that you know nothing about. And he expresses that. very plainly. Now, this truth about overcoming the world is the same for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus overcame the world, through him, he says, we have overcome the world. We have overcome as well. And this is the first and the most important part of overcoming in your life. It's believing in Jesus Christ is the first and most precious and most important part of overcoming. This believing in Jesus Christ, it's a fundamental and a permanent change. It's a positional change, right? In who you are and who you, where you are. You go from being part of this present evil age to being a citizen of the kingdom of God, a citizen of heaven, a co-heir with Christ, right? We have a new passport. We have a new life. We have a new purpose. And so we need to grasp onto that, because we can get drawn back into thinking we're of this world really quick, really easily. And we need to remember that we're actually an alien here, that this is really not a good place for us in many ways. But we're here for a reason. And that's why Jesus said he did not take us out of the world. Don't take them out, he says, but leave them in there, because they're going to follow me, and I want them to do the things that I have done and be my hands and feet in the world. So we have a reason for being here. Now, this first and most important step after this, God assists us in overcoming the trauma in our lives. And all of us face it in some way, some more, some less, some very deeply. And unfortunately, we will continue to face it. Jesus says you will face many trials and much suffering, much hardship in this world. And it's a reality. But God is now helping us. Jesus' finished work on the cross enables us to be free of Satan and his purposes for us, right? So that's an amazing thing. That's how God is protecting us from the evil one. And we need this help, because as Jesus told us, right in verse 16, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But then he makes this beautiful comment, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And that's a beautiful, beautiful statement from him. Because now, knowing that we are in him and we too have overcome the world because of him, there is this great power in that. Jesus promised to help us through our troubles. And more, he says that we will live with joy and peace in our hearts. And unfortunately, I've found out through the years, and I've experienced this in many ways, there's many Christians who are not experiencing that joy and peace. There's many Christians who are not, and they don't understand why, and they want that. They desire that. They know it's out there because they see it in others, even in the midst of hardship and struggle. And so they want that joy and peace. You know, even though they believe in Jesus and as their Lord and Savior, even though they pray continually and ask for his help, they struggle with a past whose effects continue to haunt them and to work on them, to cause them harm. And I don't know why Jesus doesn't supernaturally and immediately heal us from the traumas we've experienced. I don't know why he doesn't do that. I think I have some ideas why, and you probably do as well. But it's hard when you're talking to someone who's experiencing that to have an answer that's really super tangible and effective in some ways. And that's why I'm working through this, because I struggled with that, and people are asking me those questions, and I'm looking for those answers. And so together I want us to find those answers. And so that's why we're going to spend a couple weeks doing this. You know, I think for some the pain and the harm was so great, and it was perpetuated by someone who said they loved them and was supposed to protect them, but caused them great harm, that the healing is slow. The healing is slow. And the re-injury and the reliving of the trauma can be all too real. So what do we do? How do we go forward knowing that Jesus has overcome the world, and through him we have overcome the world, but yet we still suffer these feelings of low self-worth or anxiety or anger or fear or depression, even addiction as a believer? And it is especially hard would we know that without doubt that Jesus says through him there is healing, even joy and peace, but we are not experiencing that in our life right now, right? That's hard. It's hard to know that the scriptures say something, but yet somehow it's not real for me right now. And so I want to make it real for you. That's my hope. So are we doing something wrong? Are we misunderstanding scripture? Has Satan still got a hold on us? Is that what it is? Like, what is it? Why is there not complete and lasting freedom from the traumas of our past for some of us? Why is that? So Jesus and many of the apostles speak about how we all struggle in various ways. You know, Paul says that. All of us struggle, he says, in various ways. Right? He's being very honest about that, his own struggles and what he knows we'll face in life. The key is, how do we overcome the things that are holding us back and become the person that God wants us to be? And the first step, as I mentioned, is overcoming the world. Making that step of belief in Jesus Christ and overcoming the world. Because by the work of the Holy Spirit, we are able to see the truth of Jesus and believe. It's God doing this for us, bringing us close to him, helping us to understand his word, his nature, the truth of who he is, and even just being able to believe in him is the work of God, a gift of faith by the Holy Spirit. And God redeems all of our sin, pays the price for all of it, and he can also redeem our past. He can redeem our past trauma. I've experienced that. Others of you have experienced that, and you know it's true. He can redeem all those things and use them for his good. You know, when we become new creation, and I love how it says that in the scriptures, that we become a new creation, right? It means literally that we are not the same person that we used to be. There's something profoundly has changed. Well, that profound change is Jesus Christ, right? And no longer being in the world because of him. So we are now a citizen of God. We're no longer a slave of Satan, you know, captured by this world and subject to this world. We are affected by this world, but we are not subject to it. We are, if anything, a slave of Christ, which is a beautiful thing. So because we're now a child of God, a new creation, God is helping us in ways that was never available to us before we believed. As a new citizen, you have rights. You have all of these great things from God that he gives to his children to protect his children. There are rights and privileges that go along with citizenship, right? There are. And one of the first things that happens is the forgiveness of sins. It's one of the first things that happens as you're a believer. Freedom from guilt and shame and regret that we have carried around with us, that has been burdening us, right? And then continued forgiveness as we sin and we seek God and we repent and we ask for forgiveness. And this is a truth of Scripture, right? That if you repent of your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And that's in 1 John 1:9. But that's something for me that has always been a beautiful statement from the Lord in the scriptures that I can rest in, that he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that's important to know and important to believe in, that there is healing through Jesus Christ. Whenever we repent of sin, there is healing. And this is the peace that's talked about in the scriptures. This is the peace that comes to a believer who has experienced the love and forgiveness of God poured out on them. There is this peace that comes over us because we know that the guilt and the shame and all of that is gone. God has taken it. He has taken it away because we have believed in him and repented and asked for his forgiveness. And he is faithful and just. Now, for some reason, again, that I don't fully comprehend, some receive profound and complete healing from past traumas, regrets, shame, very quickly after coming to Christ. Some of us have experienced this profound healing in a very fast way. If you've heard my story, you know that I spent a few days on my knees and on my face before the Lord, reliving all of my past shames and guilts and traumas and being healed from them in this profoundly amazing way, where I walked away from that being able to even look at those past things and not feel any pain anymore, not feel any shame anymore. So there's this incredible power in Christ to heal us from all of those things. But not everyone experiences it that way. Others continue to struggle with their past or with forgiveness. Now, many people face trauma after they have become a believer, right? So I've been talking about before you've been a believer, but what if you face trauma after you become a believer? And we do. We do. We face that. We struggle with that. And it can cause us to struggle with God, that he would allow such harm to come to them, right? After all, didn't he say he was supposed to protect us? Didn't he say that? And so people who are believers struggle when they have experienced great harm, great trauma, and God somehow hasn't protected them from that. They can experience a real rift between them and God, a real struggle with believing and understanding. Now, God is keeping their faith. I have watched this and watched people to the midst of almost suicide, but yet have not abandoned their faith. It's like God in the struggle keeps them tied to him in faith, in belief in him, even in the midst of that, even though they're yelling at God and angry with God. For others, well, I think for some it's also about not understanding or accepting God's forgiveness for them. And I've seen this in a lot of younger believers, especially when I was in Bible college and I was an older student. There's a lot of people who understand the concept that God forgives them, but somehow they have not embraced it for themselves. They cling on to unforgiveness. It's almost like they're saying, God isn't real. He's not powerful enough to forgive my sins. And so I make a fairly profound statement when I say, if you do not accept God's forgiveness for your sins, then essentially you're calling him a liar. You're saying he's not able to forgive you. And so you need to embrace the truth of Scripture and the reality of Jesus Christ when he says he can forgive sins. He can forgive sins. This is a reality. You need to live in that and believe in that. You know, but for others, it's not necessarily about embracing forgiveness. They get that. They've got that. They understand it. But it's healing from the pain that's been inflicted on them by others. How do they heal from that? That's the issue. It's an issue of betrayal of trust at such a deep level that it's extremely difficult to trust others again. Even in some ways to trust God again. Right? And that can be a real journey, a real long journey. The past traumas can come gushing back in when because intentional or not, someone they love does something that re-triggers that trauma. And it just causes them sometimes to feel all those feelings again, go backwards in that journey again. So overcoming those deep-seated issues from the past is for many, it's a lifelong struggle, and I wish it wasn't. I wish that it was just easy and quick and we could be over this in no time, but for many, it's a lifelong struggle, right? So if you're caught up in this process, what do you do? What do you do in this struggle? What does the Bible have to say about healing from past and present harm in this world? Well, a really big part of healing does come through forgiveness, okay? It really does. The best case scenario is that the one who harmed you, if say I'm the victim, if the one who harmed me is genuinely, authentically sorry, admits that they've caused harm, right? Admits that, seeks forgiveness from that, and works really hard toward bringing healing to that person and back into the relationship to restore that what was lost in that relationship and to help the person they've harmed. When that happens, there can be, if not complete healing and restoration, at least a really big move forward in the person's life in healing, right? When that doesn't happen, the hurt remains, and peace is really hard to find. Peace can be really hard to find when that's never been dealt with. You know, for the victim of harm that's never been atoned for, or maybe never even acknowledged, it's a difficult journey. It is a hard journey. But there is hope, there is healing. Peace is possible in this life. And Peter says in 1 Peter 5:10, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." God himself will do this for you. You're not alone. Right? Even though you may not see it happening or not understand it, God is working and helping you in amazing ways. Without him, imagine where you'd be. You know, we don't think about that as we struggle and where we're at in our lives. If we could think of where would I be right now if it wasn't for God, how much worse would it be? And for someone who's really struggled, really had a hard time, maybe they wouldn't even be alive. And so God is working and helping us in ways we can't even see, through people that we don't even realize that he brings into our life. Maybe, and this is another thing, a different aspect of this, maybe you're the one who caused great harm to someone. And then that before you could express that forgiveness, before you could find that from that person, they died. Or maybe... Interesting. No, I think it's back. No? Yeah, it's back. All right. So maybe if you're that person who harmed someone, right? And that, you know, like I said, that other person passed away. Or maybe they're just so angry that they're never going to let you get close to them again. They're never going to let you even ask for forgiveness.
You're left with this burden. All right, so we're pulsating again? Yeah. All right, well, I'll just speak louder. Yeah. That works? Yeah. All right. If we need to, we'll just shut the power down if it's gonna keep jumping back and forth. All right, let me find out where I am. Here we go. So, you know, whether you're, can we just shut the breakers off maybe?
Yeah, because
it's just, because it's just going to, it's going to probably hurt this too, right? We'll shut the breakers off for now. We do have a power problem generally. Hopefully CFA is going to come this week and we'll deal with that. It's either that or, as Nancy always says, Satan loves the power grid and destroying. Doesn't want you to hear this today. So, you know what, whether you're the victim or you're the perpetrator, when there's no forgiveness or reconciliation is impossible, Jesus Christ is the answer to that. You know, and for some that sounds too easy, too trite, too religious. But I'm going to tell you why he's the answer. Because Jesus suffered and died precisely for the pain that we endure because of our sin and the sin of others. He died precisely for this. And he knows that in our present life, not everything will be restored. But, you know, it's difficult. We want everything to be great. We want everything to be restored. But it will not necessarily be that way. There will be broken relationships that will never be restored. And it's sad, but it's true. They won't always be redeemed. And maybe, well, not even maybe, some of them should never be redeemed. Because you should not be in a place where you're constantly subject to harm and abuse. God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want that in your life. If you're in that kind of a relationship, get out of Egypt. Get out of that. That person doesn't love you. Not when they seek to harm you over and over and over again. And so it's important to know that. There's actually a great book on this subject. You can get it online. It says, it's called, I think it's called We Are Slaves and We Are Not Well. It's something like that. I'll look for the title again. It's an exceptional book written by three Christian counselors on this very subject, on controllers and manipulators, and the harm that they can do. You know, so knowing that we live in a fallen world, literally, that we're in enemy territory, and that there is someone, an enemy, who's seeking to destroy us, we need and must seek the help of the Son of God all the time. We need to live in that. You know, Jesus says he died specifically for the brokenhearted, for the downcast in spirit, right? For those who have suffered greatly at the hands of others. Jesus died for that. You know, I think like no one else, he understands betrayal. He understands abandonment. He understands broken trust and abuse, right? He understands that completely. And because he is both God and man, he was able to accomplish what no one else could in overcoming sin and death. So he says that through him we can overcome all of the troubles in the world, because through him we are overcomers. So he gives us that promise. And just like you and I bear the emotional scars and sometimes even the physical scars of what we've been through, of the pain we've been through, so too does Jesus. And I think that's really important to remember, that Jesus bears the scars of what he went through. In his hands, in his feet, in his side, he bears the scars of that pain and that suffering. But they are also marks that remind us of his power, to overcome, and his power that helps us to overcome. You know, God has a new life for us, and it's not just life after this body fails, that beautiful eternal life that we have in Christ. It's life now. He wants us to have a joyous life now, a healthy life now, and he helps us to do that through the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not abandoning you. He didn't abandon us. And the Holy Spirit is with every single one of us, with every single believer. And he's called the Comforter. That's one of the greatest characteristics of the Holy Spirit, of God. But the Holy Spirit is our Comforter. He's our Helper, he says. He's our Teacher. He convicts us when we need conviction. He empowers us. He empowers us to overcome, empowers us to heal, empowers us to help others. So the Holy Spirit is essential in our life in Christ. For now, next Sunday I'm going to talk about a bunch of different things relating to this topic. But for now, because we're kind of talking about relationships that will never be healed in one way, right? Those broken relationships where the person has died, or there's no chance of redeeming it. I want you to practice one simple, and maybe not always easy action. And I believe this is a way to combat your feelings of anxiety, right? Your fear, the trauma that you faced from past harm, depression, even feelings of misplaced guilt that you might feel. And that's find a private place, a quiet place, right? And get on your knees before God. Get on your knees before God. If you can't sit, if you can't get on your knees, and cry out to him. Cry out to him. Tell him about what you're feeling. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Just let it go. Tell him everything that you're feeling, even your anger at him. He can handle it. It's okay, he can handle it. You're not going to surprise him. You're not going to upset him. Right? He loves you and cares about you, and he can handle that. And then, and this is something I've done, and I didn't learn it, it wasn't a practice, but as I pray, I envision the risen Christ before me. As I kneel, I envision this glorious, radiant Christ who died for me with the scars. With the scars that he bears. and I take all of that emotion, that anger, that trauma, that unresolved guilt, whatever it is, when I lay it at his feet, and lay it at the feet of the cross, and let him take it. Because that is why he died. He has the power to overcome for us in that. And do this as often as you're overwhelmed. You may have to do this over and over again. When those feelings come back, when that anger comes back, when that trauma is revisited because of a present action, and all of these things happen, you may have to do it many, many times in your life. But this is one of the reasons Jesus died, was to take that from us, to take that burden, that heavy burden, and lay it at his feet, because he says, my burden is light. Pick up my burden. My yoke is light. My burden is light. So, deny the satisfaction of Satan dragging you down again and again. Deny him the satisfaction, right? Because he wants to steal your life from you, the life that you have in Christ. He wants to steal that good life from you. You know, for so many people, there's a voice in their head. Maybe it's the voice of the one who, often it's the voice of the one who traumatized them. And when they get re-traumatized because of a present action, that voice comes flooding back again. Oh, you're not good enough. You're not this enough. What can't you be like? All of those things, right? All of those, deny that voice. That's not God's voice. Just so you know, that's Satan's voice trying to destroy you, wanting you to feel like a nothing, wanting you to feel unvaluable, wanting to have you deny who you are in Jesus Christ, which is a precious child of God, which is a beautiful person, wonderfully made, valuable in God's sight. So seek Jesus, abide in his presence, lean on him, and Satan will flee. We've experienced this, right? When you're in that place and you just pour into God and abide in him, Satan flees. So don't let the enemy of our faith, the father of lies, destroy the beautiful creation you are in Christ. Don't give him the satisfaction. Remember what's happening when this is going on in your mind. Remember what's really happening here. Someone's trying to destroy you. So reach out to God. Trust in the Holy Spirit who will comfort you and be your ever-present helper. Now, if you don't actually believe and act on these profound biblical truths, then you've missed the whole point of why Jesus Christ died. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't act on these biblical truths, if you don't believe on them and believe they're going to work for you and act on them, you're making a statement that, whether you understand it or not, you're making a statement that the power of Christ is not effective, or somehow you don't really believe in it. And we have to understand that. No, trust in the faith that you first had when you believe. Trust in the power of God to save you and to help you. Abide in Jesus Christ, which means spending time with him. That spending time with him is more important than the things of the world. And that's hard, because we really get caught up in the things of the world. I mean, it's ever present. It's where we live, and it's where we gain a lot of satisfaction in our life, through things of the world. But if we spend so much time in that and neglect Jesus, and we neglect that relationship, we won't have the power and ability to fight off those traumas, those past things. So abide in him. And don't give up the fight. You know, when Satan starts coming in at you, send him packing. Send him packing. Make the statement, I know what's going on here. I know what you're trying to do to me. And in Jesus' name, you have no part of me anymore. You have no part of me anymore. Get out. Now, it might sound to some very spiritual or very whatever, but it's a reality of the battle that we're in. It's a reality of believers that there is a spiritual war going on. And Christ can overcome all of that for us. Because greater is he than me than he was in the world, right? Believe in that. Walk in that truth. Keep taking your pain to the feet of Jesus, to the cross, and laying it down. For he has overcome the world, and through him, so have we. And you know what? Stop being so hard on yourself. You know, this is true about good people. They're their own worst enemy. They're their own worst critic. We do that. Good people are really hard on themselves. And so you've got to give yourself some slack. Give yourself some slack. Because you know, when you, it's kind of like put yourself in someone else's shoes who's talking to you and talking about their struggle. What do? You give them a lot of slack. You tell them, hey man, don't be so hard on yourself. Right? This is, you got to kind of take it easy on yourself. And I'll tell you why. Because as Romans 8:1 says, there is no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. Right? We might struggle. We might have guilt. We repent. And he forgives us of our sins and we move on in our life. And we trust in that. We trust that he truly does cleanse us of our unrighteousness. Right? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, where would we be without you? We don't know. We don't know where we'd be. I think for many of us, we wouldn't even be here right now. And so we come before you. We ask for your grace and mercy to fall on us. We praise you and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered in so many ways. And because of that suffering and the scars he bore, he understands our scars. He understands our suffering. Lord Jesus, you understand it all. Through those scars, you are a bridge to us, a bridge of understanding. And so we lay down all of our anxiety and fear and feelings of low self-worth and everything else, Lord, that keeps us from becoming what you desire us to be. Someone who worships you in fullness and serve others in love and has a joyous spirit despite the hardship, despite the troubles, despite all the things that happen. This is what we ask, Lord. This is who we want to be. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Amen.